Kelby and band, excited to be worshiping with you guys all week long. And just again, giving it to the Lord because He is worthy of our praise. If you guys have your Bibles, please open up to Luke chapter 5. If you don't have your Bibles, if you just forgot them in your cabin, again, please make sure you have your Bibles for all the chapels because we'll be digging into them. If you need a Bible, we have Bibles that you can borrow, so Ben back there, we'll be handing some out if you want a Bible. So Luke chapter 5, which is, Luke is a couple books right after Matthew, where we were yesterday. So you go Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. So they're in the New Testament. Again, if you need help, just even at the beginning of your Bible, it has kind of a help what page Luke is at. So Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And you know, last night in our opener kind of depicted the calling of Peter. Adam talked about it last night too, but this scripture in Luke chapter 5 is kind of based off what the video was on last night, and it's a little deeper kind of into that calling of Peter, and in a story, and an awesome story of what Jesus did that first time that Peter encountered Jesus. And so if you have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 5, we'll start in verse 1. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out in deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Let's pray. God, we, again, are just so amazed, Lord, at just what you do, and Lord, the way that you've worked in so many ways. And Lord, right now, as we go and dig into the scripture, looking at the calling of Peter, looking at, God, what it means to faithfully follow you, God, to every day be faithful. God, what it means to say, aye, aye, Captain, and to follow you with our lives. God, we just give this time to you, Lord. Please let my words be yours. And God, that the students' hearts would just open to what you have to say to them this morning. God, we give this to you in your name. Amen. Cool. So as we go through this passage of Scripture, what I really want to break down this morning is kind of our theme, this aye, aye, Captain. I know I talked a little about it last night. But really, I want to talk about what it means when you say that. So hopefully at the end of this week, you get a fuller, bigger picture of what we're talking about. But really, when you say that, really, what are you saying? What does that look like? And like I said, our tagline for this summer is be faithful with today. And you'll have a chance later in your small groups to talk about that, what you guys think that means. This morning, I kind of threw it out with my staff. Talking about when you hear that tagline, be faithful with today, what do you think of? What does that mean to you? And for them, what it means is, you know, some of them are saying in the little things that you do, in those small things every day, you're just doing the right thing. You're making the right choice. Because being faithful means you're being constant, you're being steadfast. You're doing the same thing over and over, the right thing that you're supposed to do. I love Adam's example yesterday with the skateboard. And Josh, where are you at? Great job yesterday being the apathy going back and forth. But I hope you guys could really understand and kind of grasp that, because I could really relate with that example yesterday, how you kind of do have these two choices. Like, you have God and to follow Christ. And some of you have given your lives to him. Some of you haven't. And we'll definitely give you that opportunity and unpack what that means. But for those of you that have given your life to Christ, you have that decision to follow him. But also, like you saw yesterday on that other side, you had what they call the flesh or the world or your own desires. Sometimes it's sin. Sometimes it is evil stuff. stuff that's contrary to God's word. But sometimes it's not sin, but it's not things that are glorifying to God. It's not things that are helping with your relationship with God. Like things like, not reading your Bible. God desires that you get to know him. And those times you're like, okay, well, I have about 10 minutes. Should I read my Bible or should I go on Facebook? Making those choices every day and what that looks like. And so, like I said, you guys have a choice every day to do something that pleases God or something that, is out of the world that kind of goes against God. And so I have a video right now that kind of depicts some kids that have a choice. They were given a choice to make, and some kids, made one choice that was good, and some other kids made a choice that wasn't so good. So we'll watch this video, and hopefully you can kind of see, can relate it to in your guys' life, those different choices that you make every day.
Okay, so here's the deal. There's a marshmallow. You can either wait, and I'll bring you back another one, so you can have two, or you can eat it now. So you can eat it now, or you can wait, and I'll bring you back two. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'll be back. Okay, so I have one marshmallow for each of you.
Okay.
Don't eat it. And here's the deal. You can either eat it now, or you can wait till I get back, and you can have two. Okay?
Okay.
So eat it now, or wait till I get back, and you can have two. And I'll be back in a little
bit. If we wait, you'll get two?
Yep, if you wait, you get two. Or you can eat it now, whichever you want. Okay? I'll be back in a little bit.
She still won't give you two because you ate it. So long. I didn't eat a single bite of mine. So don't show her, okay?
I'll bring back two for you, okay? How you doing, Sam?
Good.
Okay, well, I'm going to go and I haven't found marshmallows yet, so I'm going to look for some more, but you stay here, and if you haven't eaten that one, I'll bring you back another one, okay? I'll be right back.
funny, silly example, but in life, it's bigger than just a choice between eating a marshmallow or not. It's a choice between following God with your life and or following what you want to do. And so as you look at Peter's story here, he made the right choice. He made the choice to follow God. And as we unpack this the rest of the week, you'll see times he got it right. He got it really right. And there's times he got it wrong. But even those times that he got it wrong, even though maybe he wasn't faithful in that moment, God still forgave him. And then he was able to get back on track with Christ and be able to be walking with him. And so again, as we look into the scripture in Luke chapter 5, I want to ask this question this morning. You know, really, when you're saying, aye, aye, Captain, what are you saying? What, if you really want to follow Jesus, what do you need to do? And so I'm going to do something right now. I'm going to break one of my rules that I said I would never do when I speak. And that is to make an acrostic out of a word. Does anyone know what an acrostic is? Yeah, that's when you have like a word and then you use the letters of the word to make other words. You ever do that with like your name? I don't know, if your name's like Brad and you do like B for bodacious and R for rad or some. I don't know, the kid grew up in the 90s or something. So that was, you know, you can kind of do that with your names or other things. So what I'm going to do is with the word I. So A-Y-E. So when you say I, Catherine, you say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you with my life. This is really what you're doing. And so I'll go through quickly the three different phases of that. And the first one is, when you say, I, Captain, yes, Lord, I want to follow you with my life. The first part of it is, the A, is you're acknowledging him. And so as you look in Peter's life, and you look at the story here in Luke 5, that you acknowledge him, not just as Jesus, not just as a good man, not just as someone who did good things, but you acknowledge him as Lord. And we're going to talk more about that tonight, about your Savior, about the Son of God. And Peter, at that point, kind of had an idea, like Adam was talking about last night, had an idea of who Jesus was. He did some miracles at that time. He just sat in Peter's boat, and Peter got to hear him speak, so he knew there's something different about this guy. So when, in verse 5, you see Peter addressing him as Master, realizing that he's above him. And then later on, when Jesus did that miracle, you see Peter get down on his knees in front of him and say, I'm not worthy to be in front of you. So Peter acknowledge Jesus, that there's something different about this guy. And if you look, you don't have to turn over there, but in Matthew chapter 16 is when, this is later on, so Peter is following Christ, Jesus is doing more healings, more miracles, more teachings, and so Peter's able to get a fuller knowledge kind of who this Jesus is. And in Matthew 16, Jesus gets all his disciples together, and he asks them this one question. He says, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But then Jesus asks this question to his disciples. He says, but you, who do you say that I am? And Peter responds with this. He goes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so there is the best answer he could give. It's the right answer. The answer, realizing that he can acknowledges who Jesus is, that he's the Son of God, here to save our sins. But still, even at that point, Peter still didn't get the full understanding of who Jesus was. But we do. We have that. We have God's Word. We get to know who Jesus is through his Word. And like I said, tonight, Adam will explain that even more, getting to know who Jesus is. But really, for you to say, yes, God, I want to follow you. I want to be faithful to you every day of my life. First thing you have to do is acknowledge him. The second thing you have to do is you have to yield to him. So the Y and I is yield. And sometimes you see that, the yield sign out on the road. No one ever follows it. So when you guys drive, please follow it. Because on the road, yield means you have to give a right of way to someone. So if someone's kind of coming straight forward and you have a yield sign, well, you stop for them until they go. And that's really what it means. When you yield to Christ, it's relinquishing possession of something, giving something of yourself to someone else, following them. And so with Peter here, you look in the story how he did something that he didn't want to do. Who here in your life has ever done something that you didn't want to do? Who here can tell us? Yeah, let's see. Have you, yeah, let's, everyone raise your hand, because let's be honest, have you always wanted to make your bed? No. Have you always wanted to throw out the garbage? No. But sometimes you just have to relinquish to your parents, and you have to yield to your parents and do what they say. And here in the story, you look in Luke chapter 5, Jesus asked something of Peter, and he said, put out in the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Adam set this up last night. The reason why that's kind of a big deal asking, because this was morning. This is time, the peak fishing time of the day is done. You know, that 3 to 5 a.m. moment is done. This is actually one of the worst times to go fishing. They've already started cleaning their nets. They've already started to pack up for the day. And not only is that not a good time to go out to go fishing, only, you know, if you're crazy and not know what you're doing, you're going fishing at that time. But he's asking them to go into deep water. The fish that they would catch, I've actually been to that lake, and you can kind of see in the shallow sides there is the fish that you can kind of get those nets in and scoop up those fish. So going into deep water, it's much harder chance, especially at that time of day, to get it. So Jesus is asking him to do something that he doesn't want to do. But because he acknowledges who he is, he did it. And because he did it, Jesus was able to do an amazing miracle in his life. And so this is a point that I just kind of want you guys to get this morning. Is, I know a lot of time in your guys' lives, and I know in mine, I'm speaking from personal experiences here. There's times I just pray, God, do a miracle. God, do something in my life. I want to see you do a miracle. I want you to fix this situation. I want you, whatever that is in your life. But what you see, especially in this story, is, you know, Jesus didn't do the miracle first, and then Peter said, okay, I'll do what you want. No, Jesus asked Peter to do something. Peter did it, and then the miracle happened. So it really takes that step forward to do something. So in our lives, to be faithful every day, to do what Jesus asks us to do, if we do that, then that's when God can work in your lives. Does that make sense? So I'll put it this way. There's a saying I read one time in the book that I love. It's always stuck with me. And it's talking about miracles and faith. And it says, miracles do not produce faith. Faith produces miracles. And what that means, the story's a great example of that. What that means here is that because of that miracle, Peter didn't go, okay, yeah, I'll go throw my nets out. Peter had to do that action first. Peter had to throw his nets out in a crazy situation, in the deep water during the morning, and then Jesus did something amazing. There's a story that I love in the Old Testament that really exemplifies this of yielding to Christ. And it's the story of Gideon. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with this story. I'll go through it really quick. But basically, Gideon was an Israelite living in the day of when they had all these other nations kind of conquering them. And there was one nation at the time, the Midianites, that was a huge army. It says in the Bible that they had camels that were too countless to count, like the sands on the beach. Can you just imagine? That's a lot of camels, because there's a lot of sand out on the beaches. It's just tons of armies, vast armies, that are conquering his people. And so God one day goes to Gideon and says, Gideon, I want you to lead the army to defeat the Midianites. And Gideon goes, are you crazy? Not only are they incredible and they're huge and they're powerful, but me, I am from the weakest clan of the Israelites. I am a nobody. Who are you to use me? But God goes, I want to use you. And through some testing, through some miracles, God was able to get Gideon to lead an army. And so the army that Gideon started with was about 32,000 people. So 32,000 people is good size, but not great, especially compared to the Midianites. So he gets the 32,000 people, and Jesus, or God goes, you know what? We're going to give a couple little tests here. We want to thin out your army. Your army's a little too big. And Gideon's like, what? I need more people as it is. And God goes, no. The first kind of test is anyone who's afraid. If anyone's afraid, they can go home right now. We don't need them. So 22,000 people. That's over two-thirds of the people in his army afraid they're out of there. So he's left with 10,000 people. And so at that point, God's like, no. You know what? This army is still just a little too big. You know what, Gideon? Lead your soldiers down to the water. If anyone drinks out of the water like a dog, kind of with their tongue in the water, they're out of here. But they lap it up with their hands and drink the water, then they're good to go. Then they can stay. And only 300 people did that, lapped the water with their hands. And so Gideon then was left with an army of 300 people to face an army of thousands. And you know what? God showed up in a mighty way. Where if you have a chance to read this story in Judges 6 and 7, please do. It's an awesome story. But basically, Gideon and his army came down, surrounded the camps. At night, they kind of broke all the lights, kind of turned off all the lights there on them by knocking down the lanterns. And then they had trumpets making large noises. And what happened was all the armies, and the Midianites and the other armies, start attacking each other. And they started, you know, there's so much of a clamor and so much of a noise, they start killing each other. And next thing you know, these 300 people are just kind of standing there doing nothing while everyone else killed off each other. What a crazy story. But what I love about that is in Judges chapter 7, verse 2, if you read the story, basically what it says there is that the reason why God did that, the reason why God thinned out Gideon's army is so that Israel didn't get the glory, but God gets the glory. And that's what it's about. And being faithful every day, and yielding to him. It's not about you guys getting the glory, not about how amazing you guys are, what you guys do, but it's about God getting that glory. So there's times where God's going to ask you, there are times that God's going to ask you to do stuff that you don't want to do. You know, there's, you know, in the Bible, there's those commands of, you know, the sins, the no lying, no gossip, and, you know, those different things that God, that are sins that you're not supposed to do, but those things that you are supposed to do. You're supposed to love your neighbor. Not only that, you're supposed to love your enemy. Like, that is a crazy request. Someone you don't like, you're supposed to love them. Probably an even crazier request in the Bible is to not only love your enemy, but you have to obey your parents. Yeah, right? Who wants to do that? But that's what God commanded, and that's what you should do. And so those are the times that you can be faithful. Those are the times that you can obey Christ. And lastly, so we have acknowledge, we have yield, and the last thing is the E, and that's to endeavor. And what it means to endeavor, you guys probably heard the word before, but what it means to endeavor is to actively direct towards a goal. So you're going towards a certain goal to do something. And so Jesus here told his disciples, you know what, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And they said, and remember in Scripture, at once they left, dropped their nets, and followed him. So they actively pursued this goal of following Christ. So in your guys' life, as you say, aye, aye, Captain, to be able to not only acknowledge who he is and that, you know, he's the Savior, that we're in need, desperate need of him, but also to relinquish control to him, to yield all that to him, but also to start this journey with him, to endeavor with him, and to go on this adventure. It's not going to be easy. And we're, you know, Adam was talking about that last night. But this is one that's definitely worth it because he is worth serving and worth being faithful to. So right now I just want to pray. And when I'm done praying, the band's going to be up there leading us in one more song. And just, guys, please bow your heads and close your eyes. And take this time right now to just really think about, really just get in again in that mindset of what it means to say yes. Yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. Yes, I'll do whatever you ask. So, Lord, we just come to you right now, God, desperate for you and wanting to follow you, God. And so I just pray for those, God, that just want to say, aye, aye, Captain. I want to follow you with my life, God. I pray that, God, they can just continue to get to know you more through your word. God, just learning about you, what you want for us, God. We're so grateful. I pray for this time that we go into small groups. I pray for those discussions, God, that we just can unpack more about what it means to give it all to you. What it means, God, and what you want from us. So we give all this to you in your name. Amen.